You've just listened to Ram Raid live on air for Aotearoa's Music Month. I'm now joined by the lead singer. Introduce yourself. Yeah, we are glad to have him. You also may know him if you are an Otiputi local. You've seen his face at the wonderful Static Age.
Yes, I'm
in those days. Yep. But yeah, first of just like how, what's it like playing in an office, like tiny desk type?
It was very good. It was kind of interesting. I was glad like the lights were set low and things like that. It wasn't like too bright or anything. The rest of the 3D, so it still gave it that kind of gig feel. And like, I don't know. So often I'm just like looking at my other band members, so I'm not like focusing too much on the audience sometimes. So it was like it just kind of felt like a regular gig, but it was like fun.
Yeah, definitely. How did you all meet each other? How did it all come together?
So, me and Yor were a band called Mandate. And Mandate played a lot of shows here.
Yeah.
Just some bands around, which is fun. And we just kind of came into the So, I was like, I need a new band. And Fee had recently moved here. And Meridian, the guitarist, also recently moved. And I played in it all, played in the band. So, I met
them. Yeah, yeah.
I
oh really? crazy.
So yeah, it was just kind of like we decided it all came together, and I was like, hey, look, I want to start a hardcore band and just have fun and do it again. And everyone was kind of down. There was a little bit of a who's going to play the drums? I want to play the drums. You play the bass. All this kind of stuff. And then it all kind of came together, and just like the hard problem for us though was finding a place to have band practice. There was just nowhere to practice,
especially with that much noise.
There's no venue. There's no like spaces to practice. So I heard that you could practice at the Musos Club. So I joined the Musos Club solely so I could have band practice there. And I had to like jump through a bunch of hoops and go there and play pool and meet the people. Then they were like, "All right, you're in." You're right. I was like, "Cool. Could I band practice on Monday?" You know, and like just kind of started booking it straight
away. You really had to socialize that.
I know, it's weird. And like, I was like, "Man, I got to hang out in this place. This place is kind of cool. It could work," you know. And like, and then we had started having band practice there, and you know, just like kind of like slowly kicked off, and people like had song ideas, and like just kind of flowed together, and then it was all go, you know. Like, and it's just one. I can be a bit of a driving force, and like just be like, "And we're playing a show in 6 weeks," you know, like, and just make it happen.
Yeah.
And because I just want to play shows. I just want to play shows and have fun and be in different towns with my friends and, you know, have a good time.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, because it's always been kind of hardcore for you because, from my understanding, you're in distant runners.
Long distance runner.
That's it.
One time we played a short distance sprinter, because we weren't supposed to be playing, but it was good. Yeah.
Oh, love it.
But yeah, it's always been kind of like hardcore or like punk rock or screamo for me, like... like all those kind of things. It's always fun, you know. It's I always found that kind of music so exciting to live. It's maybe not the music everyone wants to hear or listen to in their living room on a Tuesday night, but like it's when you go see it, it's like this roller coaster ride, and you just have the best time, and that's what I love about it. So
so
I'm always excited to do hardcore bands. I always encourage everyone else to, like, when I meet like 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds come to all ages gigs, I'm like, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna do a band, like make it a punk band, it'll be fun," you know.
Yeah,
so, yeah, for me, it's always going to be that kind of stuff, I think. People have been like, "You should do a country band." I'm like, "Oh, I could do it. I don't know. I like shouting at everybody."
I think so. I think that's the fun in it.
It is so much fun. Yeah.
So the songs that you will play today, they're all originals?
They're all originals, yeah. Yeah, we haven't got any covers yet. We've been trying to decide if we're going to do a cover and what to do. And then it's like, "Oh, who's already done it?" and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I love that's the exact opposite problem every other band has.
Yeah, I think so many bands come in and they have their first band practice and they just do a bunch of covers and like, and then they just like you know, it takes them about 6 months to write an original. It's like, no, you should just focus on originals from the beginning.
Yeah.
And all it takes is an idea. Like, you don't have to turn up with a complete song. Like, you know, a bass player can come with a bass line, or a drummer can come with a drum beat, and like, and it's just like everyone just kind of like falls together, and you go, "Well, like, what if we did this? And we change that part." And before you know it, you've got a song.
Yeah. What are kind of the lyrical themes? I'm not going to lie, I was struggling to...
to hear what I was saying? You know, sometimes, like, that's that's the beauty of it. It's like I can say whatever I feel, and like, and it's like this intrinsic cathartic thing where it's like I get to say whatever I want and talk about the things that are bothering me or I enjoy or anything like that, just pissing me off or whatever. And like, it's good to like put it there and just have it. So but we've got songs about like David Seymour being a prick and, you know, Elon Musk, you know, just wanting Elon Musk to go to Mars and die, you know, like, things like that.
Very common sentiments.
Yeah. And, you know, there's songs about like consumerism and, you know, just songs about like, we've got a song that's all about rich tech billionaires coming to New Zealand to buy to build their bunkers to live out the apocalypse and stuff like that.
Yeah, all in Queenstown. And that's,
That's such a perfect... And like, it's like, all right, you know, they're fucking weirdos, like, living out there in the middle of nowhere, like, you know, and breeding for eternity or something, you know? Like, it's... So just, like, those kind of things. But, you know, in the past, like, you ever written about, like work and what's happened, or someone who, you know, bothered me, like, because I work retail, so like sometimes you get weirdos. Like, I had a guy come in today, shout out to the weird guy, who was like, oh, you know, all this all the old stuff's back in, is it? I'm like, yeah, you know, it goes around in circles, fashion's cyclical. And he's like, yeah, and he comes right up to the counter and he goes, hey, what do you think about them electric cars? They're pretty shitty. I was like, what are you talking about, man? Like, I don't care. I catch the bus.
Yeah. You're in a vintage store. Yeah. This is secondhand, of course.
Why do you come straight at me like that? But so, like, I write songs about those kind of things as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. The classic question, any upcoming gigs?
Yes, we've got a few coming up. We're playing on Sunday at yours. There's a band called Livid. They're from America, from Massachusetts, and they're a two-piece power violence band. So they're faster and heavier than us.
Hard to beat.
It is hard. And it's like, yeah, there's only two of them as well, making this crazy noise. That's going to be on Sunday at yours, and Sog's playing as well, who are like quite a cool young band. They're only about 15, 16, and they're doing a really good job. And then we've got Splinter playing as well, who is kind of like Dunedin's Deftones, which is hard to beat. You know, everyone loves a bit of Deftones.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we've got shows coming up in Christchurch in May as well. We've got some bands coming in from out of town in June 13th at the Crown. We have Cindy coming down, who is members of DHDFDs, who are kind of like, you know, heavy kind of garage rock, sing songs about living in West Auckland and stuff like that. Yeah. And then we have a band from Auckland coming in July called Another Fucking Problem, which is like a punk band, and it's like members of a band I used to be in, which is called Shit Ripper.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Tali is the singer in it, and Tali is amazing. Tali was a lawyer and spokesperson for the union for a long time, and she writes really great lyrics, and it's a really good band. So that's happening in July as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how do you get these, like, just talking about the Livid gig, how do you get US acts to come over?
So it's a sort of thing, like, punk rock kind of has this we look after each other kind of vibe to it. So, you know, they contact a band or they contact someone and go, hey, can you help us out? And we're like, sure, we'll help you out, you know, because it's kind of the thing is, you know, you don't expect it, but, you know, that you'd hope they'd do the same thing for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just get contact and you're like, because, like, I don't know, you end up on Spotify playlists or whatever, I don't know. Or it's just like, you know, you search punk Dunedin or something and see what comes up. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, sick. So you've mostly played at yours around Dunedin. That's the place for you.
yours is so much fun. Like, I love the Crown. The Crown's great, but Jones isn't letting you crowd surf. Not very often, you know, and stage dive, which is happening at yours, and it's so much fun. It's such a, like, an interesting, cool atmosphere, and we're so lucky to have it in Dunedin. If you haven't been to Jio, go to any show there. It's just awesome. Even like the drag shows or the Sri Lankan meal nights, whatever they do, it's always cool, and they have it. We're really lucky to have that here in Dunedin. Yeah, a space where these kind of things can happen.
Yeah.
How long have you been in Dunedin for then?
So I was actually born in Dunedin.
Oh,
okay. But I lived in Auckland for 20 years, and I've been back coming up to 6 years now.
Yeah. And just to bring up the good old Static Age, which is how I have kind of been introduced to your personality.
Oh, yeah. I do talk a lot, so.
When did that start up?
Static Age is back. It's just over 2 years. It's coming up to 2 years in June, actually. But it was one of those things that we, me and my partner Caroline, were doing together. We were doing like markets and stuff like that beforehand, and it was always kind of the plan to start the shop, and we just started like gathering pieces up. And like, I worked at AS Color for a while, and then, and they were really good to me when they moved shops. They were like, I was like, can I have all the racks? And they were like, yeah, you can have all the racks if you take them down. And I was like, awesome, thank you much, so much, like, you saved me like $3,000-$5,000, you know, like, it's like awesome. So they were kind of cool about stuff like that, and you know, like, just collecting, it's like collecting little things as well as all the clothes. It's like collecting coat hangers and all that kind of stuff. But then like, you open up the shop and you're like, oh, we should have been buying more jewelry and belts, you know, like, it's that kind of thing. But it's just been, it's been one of those dream things we've always wanted to do. And I worked at a vintage shop for a long time in Auckland and kind of learned all the ins and outs of it and stuff like that, so it's been really good.
So how big's like the basement or the, or
the basement is the same size as the main floor.
Yeah.
And it's fill, there is some racks down there of clothes ready to go out, and then the rest is just boxes full of stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So how long would you say the like oldest stuff you'd find there, like from when you bought it, not from when it was made?
Oh, like how long we had it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's things we've had for 10 years. This, like, I put t-shirts of mine out that were like 20 years old, 15 years old.
Yeah.
But like the things we find, like, there's all of that, all that. When you think about 70s, that's 50 years ago. So that's like, you know, you find 60s or stuff. It's like, it's old too, you know. Yeah, but I don't know what the oldest thing is. I think I got a comic book from the 1920s. You know. That helps.
So what have you seen? What's the in right now? I remember reading,
there's different things in, you know, yeah, like, yeah. You get like the, you know, the breathers. You know, with their denim shorts and their, you know, and their Birkenstocks and stuff like that.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. But, you know, like, there's like a lot of people like baggy and low waisted and stuff like that. But there is this kind of movement away from it slowly. You know, you're getting more flares and boot cuts are selling, which is really cool and interesting. Just because, like, you know, I got this idea that we've reached peak bagginess.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to move on.
Definitely. I know, I remember last year you said belts had come in. Is that the...
yeah, belts, we got some belts as well.
Belts are back.
Belts are back because, like, you know, with, like, low-waisted jeans for girls especially, like, you want to have this extra accessory and stuff like that. But they've been out of fashion for so long with high-waisted jeans, they just disappeared.
Yeah.
But they all want, like, belts to sit low, and I'm like, oh, that's, I haven't got belts big enough, you know? Yeah. It's called, like, smaller belts, but not big enough.
Yeah. I remember over the summer, I could not find flared jeans. They're impossible to find.
Like, yeah.
Everyone and their mother was trying to find themselves a pair of flared jeans.
Yeah, I get it. And they go.
Oh, I'm William here, and you're listening to Radio 1.
Sorry. ignore that.
Yeah, but yeah, they're hard to find. They've been in, they've gone. Like, I think it's just like they were so out of fashion for men's clothing for so long. With women's, they came back and forth, so they're easy to find for women's, but finding men's ones are really cool. Sometimes we find them and there's just they're destroyed and it's not going to work, and
because
they're like 50 years old or something like that. But you know, bootcut's an easy way to get around that.
Yeah. So can anyone just come in to your store with a bag, or how do you like to deal with,
if they're cool with that? If they got good clothes, we're interested in them.
Yeah. You're not looking for, I know, not to diss AS Color, but just like an AS Color, though they are quite
so
nice.
So yeah, AS Color is fine. It's not really, but like, it's more, I don't know, like fast fashion we don't buy very often.
Yeah.
But it's, it's, you just buy whatever looks cool. It's like, you know, when you go thrifting, you just find something cool, and that's what you get. Yeah. It's the same thing. So we're not like eagle eyes for like, we're not going to buy that because we're too busy looking for this. We're just going to buy everything that's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, it was great talking to you.
Yeah. Are you going to play one of my songs?
I think I'll get that set up in a moment. Do you have a recommendation?
Appearance is always good, and long distance running is good. I don't know if there's any shit river on there.
I'll see what Fee has got. How about up next, I'll play something else, and then and then tune in, and you'll get...
No worries, thank you for having me.
Okay, thanks so much for tuning in.
No worries.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
That was the Radio 191 FM podcast! You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast